Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. So today we are speaking of podcasts, we are talking about podcasts, how to pitch yourself to podcasts, why you want to. And we are going to wrap up the show talking about maybe starting your own podcast, because I know I talk to a lot of authors and a lot of times authors, like I'll ask them if they're blogging and they're like, yeah, but I was maybe thinking of starting my own podcast. So it's worth talking about this just in the context of the show. But I want to kind of lead off with some statistics, because I think that podcasting, and you may be thinking, you know, I don't really know if it's for me. So where was that statistic that we were just looking about? So 62%, here it is, 62% of Americans age 12 and over have listened to a podcast in 2022, up from 57% in 2021. I imagine that that number is even higher in 2023. Mm-hmm. 41% of Americans age 12 and over have listened to a podcast in the last month.
That's amazing.
Isn't that an amazing number?
Yeah.
Right? More than 80% of podcast listeners spend upwards of 7 hours in an average week listening to their favorite podcasting app.
I do, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing how podcasting has taken off. And one of the reasons that it was worth mentioning is because we have seen a splintering of media, and it's not, I don't say that in a bad way, because I mean, we used to get, so whatever we consumed, we were fed to by the three majors, right? So it was CNN, it was NBC, CBS, ABC, and those big stations decided what we would watch and what became trendy. And that is just not the case anymore with Apple TV, with Hulu, with all of these other even smaller, FX is putting out just a ton of, you know, great content, and they have an app. And I think they also do a podcast about their shows and stuff like that. For that reason, podcasting has become tremendously popular, and it's also become so much more, I think, a much bigger opportunity for authors, because there are so many different places to pitch yourself to. One of the things that I would say, though, is before you pitch yourself to start pitching yourself to a podcast, you really want to know what you pitch. And I say this not because we get emails every week from people who want us to have a guest on our podcast. And if you've been listening for the last 3 years, you know, we've never had guests on. And so you want to listen to the show first, because you may want to be on one of the bigger shows. So we've had authors on Something You Should Know, and I love Mike Carruthers. I think he still does these little bites of Something You Should Know information. And a lot of it was on AM radio, which now I've really dated myself, but like the Blockbuster video example that I gave in the last podcast show. But he now has a podcast, and it's consistently one of the top 25 on Apple iTunes. When you consider there are 2.5 million podcasts listed on iTunes, that's pretty extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But most of the authors that probably want to be on his show would not be the right market for his show. So when you listen to it, you kind of get a sense of, you know, who he interviews and where the topics go and the kinds of things that they need for, that they're looking for guests. But they are always looking for guests. And that's the other thing too, for podcasts. Well, television, a lot of times, I think, seems not necessarily unattainable, but it's tough, right? Because there are fewer major shows, and there are fewer opportunities for authors to get onto these shows. And like Amy and I talk about this a lot, when you think about the Today Show. So we get authors that say, well, I want to be on one of the morning shows. Think about the last time that you saw an author on a morning show touting a book. I mean, Amy, I can't really remember when the last time was that I saw like an author on the Today Show.
Yeah. I don't watch as regularly as I used to anymore, by any means. But back when I did, it was always somebody that you knew, you recognized. They've been around for 20 years or more. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're just talking about their 64th bestseller. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, that's who gets on TV, folks.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is, we have done separate shows on media, so not to discourage you, because there are still opportunities out there. I would recommend looking through some of our old shows to older shows to find the ones that we did on media. But podcasting is a really great opportunity for authors. There are a lot of podcasts out there that are publishing and author based, but the majority of them are focusing, like our show, they're focusing on the marketing. They're focusing on maybe publishing industry news and things like that. They're not so much wanting to interview you as a fiction author, you know, because it is different. And Amy, do you want to speak to that? Because I know you've been listening to podcasts probably even longer than I have. There's a big difference between the amount of podcasts for fiction authors versus nonfiction.
Yeah. And I think it just, I think you're, yeah, absolutely. I think if you are a nonfiction author, I mean, I don't want to say the options are endless, but unless you have a really niche topic, that you're going to have a ton of different options and people to potentially connect with. Mm-hmm. Fiction does get a bit trickier. I will say for fiction, different genres have more options. I will say children's books, things like that. There are quite a few podcasts that talk about children's books, what's going on in early education, things like that. So you can get creative with it, but I agree with you, Penny, you know, for mainstream romantic suspense, you know what I mean? There's going to be probably just a handful. But a lot of these places record weekly, some of them have multiple, they have one or two, even three shows a week, because they just, you know, they block record interviews and things like that. So they can keep it going because they know that, I think realistically, readers that are listening to podcasts to find new books are probably very voracious readers. You know what I mean? These are not people that are buying three or four books a year. These are people that are buying three or four books a month, probably. Mm-hmm. And they have to keep up with those kind of demands and those demographics. So like you said, Penny, just, I encourage everybody, just be really smart. And like you said, start listening to some of them and you'll get a feel for what they cover and what they're looking for.
Well, and there are a number of podcast directories out there, and there are a number of podcast matching services. So in other words, like matchmaker.fm, you can sign up there and list the areas that you can speak to and you'll get matched with, sometimes show hosts find you, but other times matchmaker will just send you a list of places that might work given the topics that you felt that you can speak to. One of the things that I would suggest, though, I mean, for nonfiction, it's a little bit easier. So your topics are very self-evident, right? But for fiction, think about not just, okay, yeah, it's great to talk to voracious readers like Amy mentioned and talk about your book and all this other stuff. But I would also suggest that you think about, you know, writing a book is a phenomenally difficult task. Most people never accomplish it. And some of these podcasts might be interested in listening, you know, talking with an author about the process of writing and the process about getting published. So that's another opportunity for you in terms of as you're seeking out podcasts to be interviewed on. So again, listen to the show, make sure that the show is, you know, right for you. Most of the shows are going to have some kind of a landing page where if you're a guest, you can send them an email, you can, you know, they're, pitch details and things like that are sometimes in the show notes or on the podcast page. And you can find out how to get yourself in front of, in front of more podcasts, but there's a lot of benefit to Amy. I'm sorry. You were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say one more tip, and only because it's top of mind because of our last show. We talked about connecting with readers. And so another tip for finding the right shows, don't be searching necessarily, especially if you write fiction, don't be searching author podcasts. Search for reader podcasts.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Book podcasts. You know what I mean? Find things that put your reader hat on and find something that you would look for as your own reader, not as you as an author looking to book media. You know, kind of get in the headspace of the consumer and what they'd be looking for. And those are likely the kind of shows you want to start connecting with.
Exactly. No, that's a really, really great, that's a great reminder. I'm glad that you brought that up. The other reason that I like podcasts, and you know, I've been accused of being a little bit of a podcast snob. So I have a hard time with shows that are really long, like a show that's an hour or a show that's 90 minutes. I think, and you and I talked about this a little bit in the green room, Amy. I mean, that show, if you're going to go an hour for a show, mm-hmm. has got to be really, really compelling, because otherwise you're losing people at the 15-minute mark and certainly at the 30-minute mark.
Yeah. I mean, I think the really long shows are really shows that are telling a story. You know what yeah. I mean? There's a clear trajectory. I can't imagine listening to anybody do like a Q&A type podcast for more than 20 or 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. However, if you are in the beginning of your career, so if you're just starting out, you've never been interviewed before, and maybe this feels a little bit intimidating, sometimes an hour long show can give you the opportunity to, I hate to say this, but it kind of starts, you start to warm up like after the 20 minute mark. Like the first 10 minutes, you feel a little bit nervous, you're being interviewed on the podcast. And sometimes some of these podcasts like to record in video too. So now you're in video and, you know, you're being recorded and there's a lot going on. So sometimes the longer shows, again, if you're a newbie, can really help you to, you know, you start to kind of smooth out the edges as the show goes longer. The other reason that I really like pitching podcasts for authors, and don't discriminate between, like I talked about the show, Something You Should Know, which I love. I listen to it all the time. There are a lot of these top shows, but don't necessarily get discouraged if the shows that you're left to go after are not in the top show, you know, in the top of iTunes or wherever. I mean, listen, and I just want to kind of toot my own horn for a second. A lot of times we get ranked like the number one show in author marketing and book marketing, and that's great. But overall in iTunes, I don't want to look at where our number is, because I don't think it's probably not that high. I mean, you're competing with megastars and, you know, TV personalities and all this other stuff that have podcasts. Don't get discouraged if the podcast doesn't necessarily have some great ranking, because podcasting can be a great way to not just build your repertoire, right? And we'll talk about links in a second. I'll let Amy talk about the links factor, but it's also helpful for you to really get your feet wet in being interviewed. I'm not saying that you're going to use podcasts as a training ground, but it's kind of a training ground, right? To hone your interviewing skills. Every single show that you do, you're going to get better. So if you aspire to do bigger media at some point, podcasting is a great way to help you refine your message, get used to talking to different hosts and what their pacing is like. And frankly, some hosts will be better than others. Mm-hmm. And you and I both know, Amy, from listening to a lot of podcasts, the host, no matter who they have on to interviewing, the host can make or break the show.
Yep.
Right. Absolutely. You know, but it also helps you to build a lot of links and a lot of places to share in social media. I mean, Amy, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, just in terms of how much extra juice you get from each of these, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, because like whenever I do a podcast, I'm sending it, because Amy's social team manages my social media, and I'm sending the podcast link to your social media team, and you know, we're tagging the host and we're tagging the podcast and we're thanking them. And it's another, because I had an author actually tell me this. He said, and he worked with us, and he said, you know, I'll say yes to any podcast because it gives me another opportunity to share something in my social feed and something to add to my media room.
Absolutely. And, you know, people like what other people like. So as Penny yes. said, this is training to some degree, but you're also just proving that you can do it, because once you get one show booked and that interview is live, I guarantee it's going to be that much easier to get a yes from the next one, and then a yes from the next one.
Yeah.
You know, because they want to work with people that have done this before. They want to work with people that are clearly compelling And once you start having something to back that up, you know, on your media room, on your website, sharing it on social, things like that, you're going to start getting a lot more yeses. It's kind of like opening, you know, opening the floodgates. You should be so lucky to be too busy with requests, you know, but
yeah,
but each one will make it that much easier to get the next one.
And it's also really good for networking, right? So podcast hosts, a lot of times know each other. I don't know that we know, but I've said that I'm like, who else do we know that's podcasting? Actually, we do know quite a number of people who are doing podcast, but a lot of times many of these shows will network with each other. You know, especially if they have a good guest, right?
Yeah. And even if you're not on super friendly terms by any means, there's still a sense of professional respect across the board. You know what I mean,
Penny? For sure.
You see that they were on such and such podcasts. You may not know them personally, you know, but you see that they were on that show. You have some professional respect for what that show does. It means something.
It absolutely does mean something. And one of the things I wanted to mention too, is that if you are going to be on a podcast, and I would say this also goes for if you're going to start your own podcast, be a good guest, right? So years ago, there was, Blog Talk Radio. So Blog Talk Radio before podcasting, again, I'm just dating myself. back in the covered wagon days, we had Blog Talk Radio. And I had a podcast and we would have guests on. Sometimes the guests would show up late. Sometimes the guests would show up unprepared. Sometimes the guests would not show at all. It was really kind of crazy. So when Amy and I were talking about starting this podcast, I said, you know, cautionary tale, I don't really want to have guests on. First off, and guests also require a lot of coordination. So, and stuff happens, right? You have an emergency or you get sick or you have to cancel the show. And then, you know, you have this recording time. There's a lot that goes into it. So be respectful of, you know, being a guest on a show. Yes, you want to be prepared and all of that. Show up on time, show up early. And if you do have to cancel, you know, if at all possible, I mean, I realize sometimes unexpected things happen. Be mindful of the fact that they've planned and scheduled that time and whatever the mixing crew and all of this other stuff for you to, you know, for you to be on the show. So be respectful of that. Amy, do we want to talk a little bit about starting your own podcast before we wrap up?
Definitely.
So when Amy and I started this podcast, we started it in 2020, just before the pandemic. And
it was a thing to do in 2020, I think.
it was a thing to write. Everybody was starting a podcast. And it's kind of true, right? Podcasting is a little bit like indoor plumbing. Like everybody has one. I think there's something like at any given time, there's something like 17 million. I forget what that statistic was, that 17 million podcasts and shows, episodes exist in more than 71 million episodes exist in podcast feeds, right? So apparently a lot of people had the same idea in 2020. But one of the things that she and I talked about at the beginning of the show was, before we decided to do this, was how long the shows were going to be, which we haven't really adhered to that. But, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes the content just, you know, deems the show to be shorter or longer. But we also talked about what we were going to focus on. And I think that's the most important thing. It's kind of like, you know, blogging. Back in the day when blogging was new, and again, here I go with the dating myself, but when blogging was new, like everybody wanted to do it. Blogging is great. I have a voice. I can get on there. And then you see more abandoned blogs than anything else. And the same is true for podcasts, right? I don't know what the statistics are for people who have abandoned their shows, but I would imagine it's probably pretty high.
Yeah. Sorry, I want to say on that, let me find it real quick.
Did you find that on that statistic list?
Yeah, you mentioned that there are 71 million episodes. Apparently 2.5 million podcasts are listed in the Apple podcast app alone, but only 450,000 are active.
Thank you.
At the time that they did this research. So, and that was only a year ago. This is a 2022 research piece, I think. So, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that tells you pretty much everything that you need to know about people starting a podcast. So if you're going to do it, I would recommend, I mean, I think that when we first started, we plotted out, we were really dedicated to creating a whole bunch of shows, because you have to first off get into the habit, right? The other piece of it too is that you have to be patient. It took us quite a while, I think, to get our first review. It took us quite a while to get people writing us, to get found, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I would say you may have a show that is that, you know, where you have to, you kind of live and die by having guests, and that's fine. Just understand that the guest adds a layer to that of organization and things like, you know, that kind of stuff. And then again, the length of the show, how often that you're going to do it. We were doing it every 2 weeks, and then we decided to do mini-sodes, and now we changed the mini-sodes that we're now just running a podcast a week because we weren't really staying to the 10 minute, you know.
But I think to our credit, Penny, we've made a lot of changes based on the feedback we get.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just wildly like, let's do something different with the podcast this week because we need, you know, another project, like a hole in the head. But, you know, but that's why we, every show, you know, Penny mentions, we love reviews. We love you to write us. Please let us know what you like. Please send us show ideas, because we really do try to keep this focused on what's resonating with listeners, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that that feedback has really, as Amy said, that feedback has really shaped the show. It's mm-hmm. shaped the show. We used to do very, and I don't know if you go back and listen to 2020, you'll probably pick up on this. We used to do very scripted shows, but some of the feedback that we got from people is that they liked our banter, as long as it was productive banter. Like Amy and I could get, like, we actually, this is the second time we're recording the show, because the first time we got completely sidetracked talking about all the true crime podcasts that we listen to. So at some point I was just like,
I know, you're welcome.
At some point I was like, this is a terrible show. We have to stay, you know, we have to really stay focused. But I think that so we figured out what the dynamic was. Sometimes it works, as I said, sometimes it doesn't always work, like re-recording the show. We got a lot of feedback from listeners saying that they really liked the synergy between she and I. We've been working together long enough that we know kind of where the other stands on things and how to bounce stuff back and forth. But that all came from listeners. So I think it's important to listen to your listeners. The other thing is plan on having, so we use Buzzsprout to send out our podcast. We also have a mixer guy that I found on Fiverr who is great. And we have our intro and outro music. If you're going to put it out there, you know, spend a little bit of money getting it mixed, getting it, you know, to sound right, and get some intro and outro, which I had a lot of fun picking intro and outro music. Spent like hours sending ideas to Amy. Finally, she was like, you know, the 48th one, the first one that you sent 48 sound snippets ago was actually my favorite. So. But you know, you want to put it out there. I mean, again, everything that you do is your resume. So, you know, something may happen. You may decide not to keep going with it or whatever, but a podcast does require, if you're going to do a podcast, it does require dedication. It is a great way though to reach people because you are literally in their ear, and it really does help to build some great connection with potentially with your, you know, listeners and consume, you know, whatever it is that you're doing the podcast for.
Right. It's your unique point of view. And that's something that we harp on all the time when it comes to marketing, right? Figuring out, don't just do the marketing and check it off your list. Figure out your unique spin on those strategies, on those things that you know are working for other authors. How can you make it yours? How can you make your unique point of view stand out, whether you're fiction or nonfiction?
Yeah, exactly. We love podcasting. If you want to ask us about show recommendations for all things true crime or weird stories that happen, you can definitely email us, because we have lots of show recs. Be thankful that we scrapped the show where we just went off on some weird ass tangent, because that was just going nowhere. But I love the idea of podcasts for authors. Consider getting your feet wet in this, adding it to your, you know, list of things that you're going to start to go after. Listen to some podcasts and get a sense of where you might be a good fit. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We love reviews wherever you listen to our shows, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.